We seek the protection of God from Shaitan, who's been expelled from God's kingdom of special mercy. The reason for his expulsion is twofold. One is Shaitan's arrogance. Shaitan knew what was haq and right, yet refused to accept. And secondly is Shaitan's defiance. He knew what was evil, yet he deliberately committed it. And hence he disqualified himself from God's special grace. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We turn humbly to God and ask for His help and guidance for three reasons. Number one, we believe He is Allah, the absolute, infinite, perfect being, the source of all goodness and perfection. And therefore anyone who hopes to achieve any goodness must necessarily turn towards Him and Him alone. And secondly, we believe He is Rahman, the source of all mercy. Everything in the universe is a manifestation of His continuous love, grace and mercy, whereby it comes into life, it survives, it thrives and grows towards its perfection. And therefore we turn to Him for help. And thirdly, we believe He is Rahim. Not only His general mercy is universal, but there is special, abundant, extra grace, love, and compassion available, but not to all, only to some, only to those who voluntarily respond to Him, admit to His existence, accept Him, and mold their lives according to His will. And hence we turn to Him to ask for that special grace. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. And we send our salutations and greetings and profound respect and allegiance and loyalty and love to the Holy Prophet, who is the most praised one, because He is the most perfect one. And the reason for His perfection is twofold. Number one, His realization of the truth of this universe was the maximum possible for any human being. His knowledge of God, the absolute truth. His knowledge of God's beautiful names, infinite, perfect attributes. His perfect love, knowledge, mercy, wisdom, generosity, all His beautiful names. His actions, the way Allah, with total control, with total wisdom and mercy, is driving the universe towards its goal of perfection. The Prophet's realization of these profound realities of Tawheed was the maximum possible for any human being. And secondly, the Prophet in his life, mental, emotional, spiritual, personal, political, social, economic, in all dimensions of his life, the Holy Prophet was the most submissive and humble to the will and the dictate of God, and therefore the most praised one, and therefore the most perfect one. And likewise, we send our salutations and greetings and our expression of allegiance and love and loyalty to His holy progeny, who were the next best in perfection after Him. And especially so, the third holy Imam, whose tragedy we have gathered to commemorate, whose tragedy has become a role model for that final struggle to establish global justice on earth. Elders, brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Can I have the first slide, please? We were discussing the importance of attending and participating in these sessions of mourning and weeping as recommended by the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim assalam. And we reminded ourselves that there's been tremendous reward promised But those rewards depend on the stages of weeping in which we can engage in. Stage one, I said we could characterize it as an emotional response, whereby every person who has a heart, who can experience and express sympathy at somebody's suffering, can engage in this form of weeping, even if he's not a believer. However, I wish to add a note here. I do not want to undermine even this level of response. Even this level of response is important. So much that in some traditions we are told that even if you do not feel like weeping, pretend to weep. In fact, there are some scholars who say that the tradition says whoever weeps doesn't make a condition. In fact, if you come to this gathering and you feel like weeping, not for Imam Hussein, but for your own loss, still, there is a degree of reward promised. Amazing. Just the beginning of the experience of grief is something which is recommended. I don't want to undermine this position, but the purpose of the session yesterday was to enable us to appreciate that there are higher levels we should strive for. If so much reward is promised, there's a higher goal. So stage number two, I said, is derived from the fact that in the Quran and in the riwayat, we are told that ma'rifah is very important in weeping. The more we know who this personality was, the more his influence and effect and his positive presence over mankind is appreciated, the better we would respond in weeping, the better we would get attached. And then we said number three is weeping, which could be characterized as experiential, best expressed in that ziyarah where we said labbaika da'iya Allah, where the totality of our being, where our skin and our hair, where our flesh and blood, where our eyes and ears, where our core consciousness says yes to the invitation to that higher form of life, godly life, which Imam Hussein gave up his life for. And the absence and loss of that sort of a person makes me weep. That is the experiential weeping. We stopped there yesterday. I would like to continue to the fourth level of weeping, which I label as existential weeping. Meaning that the very purpose of existence is served by weeping. That's a profound purpose. Can we have the next slide, please? Look at these words that we are taught to recite in ziyarah. This is similar to what we say in ziyarah warid, but this is from another ziyarah. قلبي لكم سلم. My heart is in total submission to you. وَأَمْرِي لَكُمْ مُتَّبِعٌ. In all my affairs, you are the decision maker. Not my desires. My reason will assess the situation. It's the criteria and the standards that and the principles that you have set which will determine the decision that I will make. أَمْرِي لَكُمْ مُتَّبِعٌ. Aha. Look at this statement now. وَنُصْرَتِي لَكُمْ مُعَدَّ. And my full support at all levels is ready. It's declared. حَتَّى يَحْكُمَ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الْحَاكِمِينَ لِدِينِهِ. Up until such time, when finally God shall establish His religion on earth, those divine godly values, I'm ready. I'm ready for that day. وَيَبَعَثُكُمْ. And God, in His wisdom and in His fulfillment of justice, shall bring you back to life. This whole concept of raj'a requires perhaps a detailed discussion, but briefly, we believe Raj'a is a minor Qiyamah. The final Qiyamah where full justice will be meted out at a lower level in the physical earthly life. Also, there will be the expression of divine justice in the form of Raj'a. And I believe in that. Inni min al-mu'minina bi raj'atikum. I believe that you shall come back to establish that final justice. What is my role in that scheme of things? فَمَعَكُمْ مَعَكُمْ لَا مَعَ عَدُوِّكُمْ. I am with you and you alone, not with your opponents. Weeping that becomes existential, the purpose of existence, is served by this weeping. How? Next slide, please. Again, this form of weeping we could understand from the Quran. In Surah Bani Israel, chapter 17, ayah number 107, Allah says, قُلْ آمِنُوا بِهِ أَوْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا بِهِ. This Quran has been sent, and it is a miracle. Its proof is very clear. You have all failed to produce anything like it, and therefore its message is convincing. Whether now you accept it or not, but remember this much, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ إِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ يَخِرُّونَ لِلْأَذْقَانِ. When the verses of this Quran are recited unto them, because of the level of knowledge that they have, their response is, they're overwhelmed, they're overtaken, and with the totality of their being, they want to respond. How should they respond? They fall down into sajda. Not only that, وَيَبْكُونَ, and they weep. Weeping is perhaps the deepest expression of the response to the truth that a human being is capable of experiencing. We're told the closest you can get to God is when you're in sajda. The closest you can get to God in sajda is when you weep. Weeping is the expression of the most profound feeling a human being is capable of experiencing in response to confrontation and encountering the absolute truth. Submission, humility, selflessness, sacrifice. Next slide, please. So, this existential weeping, whereby I become part of that struggle in history to serve the very purpose of existence. How do I understand that? Look at what the Quran reminds us. Surah Zariyat, chapter 51, ayah 55. We all know this verse. Allah says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونِي. I've not created mankind and jinn, but that they worship me and me alone. مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ. I don't wish to be nourished by them. وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونِي. Know that they should feed me. إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. Surely God is the all-provider. He doesn't need anything. The purpose of creation is worship. One. Interesting enough, Allah doesn't say, I have several reasons for creation. One of them is worship. No. The exclusive reason, the only reason, is worship. It's not part of my time I should spend in mosque and worship. The rest of the day I can do whatever I want. Part of the time I spend in worship, in the family I can do whatever I want. Part of the time in worship, in my economic affairs, in my political affairs, in my social affairs, in my cultural affairs, I can do whatever I want. Part of the time I spend in worship. The ayah says, there is no purpose, but that there is total worship. In all aspects of life. That means in all aspects of life, I'm nothing but a slave. In all aspects of my life, I have a master. That master is more knowledgeable than me. That master has more power over me than I have. That master loves me more than I can ever love myself. That master, therefore, is more deserving to be obeyed than my own desires or the desires of any other power. That's the purpose of creation. In order to enable me to achieve the highest possible perfection, I choose as my goal the absolute perfect being. That's worship. Total. In all aspects of life. One. Two. And God will achieve that purpose. God is undefeatable. He's unstoppable. It will happen. In Surah 9, Tawbah, ayah number 33. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق. He is the one who has sent the right prophet with the right qualifications, with the right purpose, with the right message. لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. So that finally there will be victory of the godly values and principles and laws on the whole of the earth. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ in one ayah, مُشْرِكُونَ in another ayah. Even if those who know the truth and reject it, kafir, and oppose it, and stand against it, and resist it. Or even those who know the truth, but they also ascribe to other things, mushriks. Despite all efforts to stop, it will happen. It's unstoppable. Two. Three, but it will not happen by force. The worship of God on the whole of the earth is not going to happen by miracle, is not going to happen by coercion, it's going to happen by man's own choice. Surah 10, Yunus, ayah number 99. وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ. If God had actually willed it, He has the power. لَآمَنَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كُلُّهُمْ جَمِيعًا. If God wills it and He has the power, He can enforce and impose worship on the totality of the creation, and they cannot resist. أَفَأَنْتَ تُكْرِهُ النَّاسَ عَلَى حَتَّى يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ. O Prophet, are you, when you see, you are showing miracles to them, you are explaining to them, you look at, you're showing your background, and yet they're not convinced, yet they reject, and you feel so sorry for them. Are you trying to force them to have faith? If God wanted force, He would have done it. God is unstoppable. But not by force. He will not achieve His goals by force. That victory will be achieved by faith. Surah 24, Nur, ayah number 55. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. If you are a believer, one. And if you are a practicing believer, two. لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا. The result of all these three, يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا. That worship will be established, but by faith. Number five. No faith is true faith unless there is sacrifice. Surah Al-Imran, chapter 3, ayah number 142. أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ مِنْكُمْ وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Till there is no jihad, till there is no sabr, you will definitely face struggles in life. You will definitely face opposition in life. Those will oppose truth. Till there is no perseverance, till there is no endurance, till there is no readiness to sacrifice, there is no way godly values are going to be established. And Allah will create situations to test. And Allah will
create situations where people will suffer. And in suffering, individuals will begin to realize what is justice, what is injustice, what is pain, and what is righteousness, and what is falsehood. And gradually, they will develop an understanding of the true faith. No. A readiness to commit to the true faith. No. A readiness to die for the true faith. To do whatever to establish that true faith. Because without that, there is nothing but misery and evil and suffering and injustice. In order for this voluntary decision to spread in mankind, you need a role model. That's where Karbala comes in. Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3, ayah 146. وَكَأَيِّن مِن نَبِيٍ قَاتَلَ مَعَهُ رِبِّيُّونَ كَثِيرٌ. Oh, so many prophets came before, and all of them had to struggle against evil. But they also did it with a group of companions. Incidentally, in the tafsir of this ayah, it says it applies directly to Karbala also. فَمَا وَهَنُوا لِمَا أَصَابَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَمَا ضَعُفُوا وَمَا اسْتَكَانُوا. They did not fall, they did not fail, they did not falter. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah loves those who have sabr. Allah has created the universe in such a way that all the forces, the physical and the spiritual forces, work in support of those who have sabr. يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ. Karbala plays that cosmic role. When we listen to the tragedy and understand the role played by the characters there, the values that we begin to imbibe in ourselves help us identify with that final goal of creation. And hence, in Ziyarat Warif, for example, we say that he is the heir and the inheritor of the legacy of the prophets. Next slide, please. And prophets throughout had problems. In Surah 34, ayah number 34, Surah Saba. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِي قَرْيَةٍ مِن نَذِيرٍ. There is not a place where we sent our messenger. Well, Allah does not leave any place without a messenger. No way. Okay, they've not been mentioned in the Quran, all of them, but it is not possible that Africa did not have a messenger, that South America did not have a messenger, that pre-Columbus North America did not have a messenger, that any other part of the world where there was a community did not have a messenger. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِي قَرْيَةٍ مِن نَذِيرٍ إِلَّا قَالَ مُتْرَفُوهَا. There were some who opposed. إِنَّا بِمَا أُرْسِلْتُمْ بِهِ كَافِرُونَ. We have seen the truth. You are a righteous person, but we reject. We don't accept. And this rejection, which is mentioned briefly here, has then been expanded in detail in other surahs. For example, next slide, please. In Surah Shu'ara, chapter 26, there are almost 227 verses. And the last verse deals with the poets, and therefore the name is the Shu'ara. But there are seven prophets mentioned, including the Holy Prophet, eight. And the interesting thing is, other than Prophet Musa and Ibrahim, Prophet Musa and Ibrahim were the closest to the time of the Prophet who are the Ulul Azm. But other than that, the five other prophets were mentioned. It's interesting how the Quran analyzes the reasons why people opposed the prophets. And these are some of the same reasons why we see in Karbala people came up against Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Can we have the next slide, please? Of all the five prophets, Prophet Nuh and Prophet Hud and Prophet Salih and Prophet Lut and Prophet Shu'aib, for all of them, there are five verses, there are seven verses which are common to them. Just like in Surah Rahman, we have فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. In this surah, we have these seven verses repeating themselves. وَإِلَىٰ قَوْمِ كَذَّبَتْ قَوْمُ نُوحٍ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. The people of so-and-so prophet, they rejected. Not only this prophet, they rejected all the prophets. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُمْ أَخُوهُمْ. Their brother came to them and said to them, Nuh, Hud, Salih, Lut, Shu'aib, their brother said to them, he was one amongst them, he was one equal to them, not superior, brother. He was brotherly and concerned about them. I have brought a message to save you. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُمْ أَخُوهُمْ أَلَا تَتَّقُونَ. Haven't you got your God-given conscience whereby conscience tells you what is evil and what is good? Why don't you listen to it? One. Two. إِنِّي لَكُمْ رَسُولٌ أَمِينٌ. If I'm a messenger, I've got a miracle to prove it. Not only that, I've got my background amongst you. Honesty, trustworthiness, character, integrity. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونِ. You all believe in God. Be wary of Him. Be conscious of Him. God consciousness, taqwa. And obey me. No community can survive without leadership. No leadership is valid unless it's sanctioned by God. Obey me. The prophets came to establish divine laws. مَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ. I don't seek any material benefit that you pay me for my services. إِنْ أَجْرِيَ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. All the prophets said that. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَأَتِيعُونِ. What was the response? Different people responded in different ways. Next slide, please. The conclusion for all these five prophets is again the same. And we destroyed them, the people. And the result, إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَآيَةٌ. For us, in the story of these people's destruction, is a clear sign of God's overwhelming power. وَمَا كَانُوا أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. The problem was the majority of them saw the signs but rejected it. They were not believers. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ. Surely your Lord, the Master, the Sustainer, the Provider, the Cherisher, the one who cares for us moment by moment, who sends messages to us moment by moment, even today, even through Karbala, even through weeping. If we sit here and we are listening and we begin to respond, already our heart is receiving grace from God. And that's how we can cry. Moment by moment the message comes from Him. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ الْعَزِيزُ. But He's Almighty. He's invincible. He's unstoppable. His aim will be achieved. But He's Rahim. He will do so not by force. He will do so through us. Through individuals. Next slide, please. And therefore, if you look at the problems that the prophets had to face, Prophet Nuh, for example, had the problem of social discrimination. Next slide, please. Prophet Hud faced the problem of people who are into a life of frivolity and fancifulness and luxury and excessive use of force. Three. Next slide, please. Prophet Salih faced a community of people economically very productive, resourceful, architectural constructions beautiful, but politically they were servants to the evil empire. Four. Next slide, please. Lut, sexual deviation. Next slide, please. Shu'aib, people with economic corruption. Notice these problems are universal human problems, be it with different communities the prophets faced in the past, be it collectively, which our ummah faced in the prophet's time or in Imam's time, or be it today, where these things are not confined to a small community, they've become global. And therefore, the importance of weeping keeping in mind the purpose of existence becomes all the more important. Inshallah, we'll elaborate on this a little further later on. As-salamu alayk, ya Aba Abdullah, wa ala al-arwah allati hallat bifina'ik, wa anakhat birahlik, alaykum minna jami'an, salamullah, abadan ma baqina, wa baqiyan laylu wa nahar. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.